You're listening to Nick Reed in the Morning on Springfield's Talk 104.1.
Sarah Myers, everyone.
Thank you, the Pyramid Roofing Company. If you've been putting off roof repairs, or you know that you need a new roof, but you think, oh, it's winter now, it's too late, we're going to just have to wait until spring now, that is not always the case. In fact, winter is one of the best seasons to get a new roof install. You have a shorter wait time, and sometimes you can even snag a deal. So if it is time to have the Pyramid team out to your home, whether it's time for a new roof install or maybe you just want a health checkup on your roof before winter really hits, reach out to Josh today and schedule that free roof inspection. You can find all of the contact information for the Pyramid Roofing Company under the Sarah's Endorsements tab at ksgf.com.
Being Thursday, of course, means it is time for our Author of the Week, sponsored by ABC Books on North Glenstone. And our author this week, Aisha Taylor, her book, Navigating the Impossible, a survival guide for single moms from pregnancy through the first year of motherhood. Now, it's not her only book. However, it's the one that I wanted to speak with her about. And I've got to tell you, thank you for being with us this morning. I really appreciate it. And I want to tell you the reason that I even learned of this book and reached out to see if I could have you on is because of a piece that you wrote in Breitbart. Regarding pregnancy centers, that I thought, oh, this is such important information for people to know. And then I saw, oh, she's got a book, and so I'm gonna book her. So I appreciate you being with us. And before we get into, because I do want to talk about what you discuss in the piece in Breitbart, just tell us a bit about, you know, who you are, your story, and the book Navigating the Impossible.
So thank you so much, Nick, for having me on. I really appreciate you for inviting me. And so, a short summary version of how I even came to the book is I was working in corporate finance and I just felt a calling to leave my job to become a full-time entrepreneur. At that time, I had a personal finance blog for women and I just felt like the Lord was leading me to pursue that full-time. So I ended up quitting my job to become a full-time entrepreneur and then I got unexpectedly pregnant. And the father of my twins, my unborn twins, began to pressure me to have an abortion. I ended up saying no. He walked out. And then at 4 months pregnant, I became a single mom. And I went to a pregnancy center for support and really was able to build a village to come alongside of me. But it wasn't easy. And I just know that there are so many women who are in similar situations where they experience an unplanned pregnancy, become a single mom, and have no idea where to start. And I knew with my finance training and with my network, it was still difficult. So I wanted to create a manual for women in similar situations to be able to know what to do and how to move forward after an unplanned pregnancy. And that is where Navigating the Impossible was birth. It was through that pain. It was through that journey. And I just wanted to provide some hope and some help for other women who are in similar situations.
What a reference here, the piece that I read in Breitbart that, again, you wrote that prompted me to reach out to you. And ultimately, it was about oral arguments before the Supreme Court, First Choice Women's Resource Center versus Plotkin. And you talk about in the piece or write about this experience, the pregnancy and what it was that a pregnancy care center did for you. And the reason that I just feel it was so important for people to know this, I'm so grateful that you wrote this, is because one of the talking points that you oftentimes hear from those that are in the pro-abortion movement is that, well, pro-life people, they only care about the baby until it's born. And they portray pro-life individuals as not really caring about the mother. It's just an issue for them. And once the mother has the baby, they don't care any longer. And I know just from interaction and knowing folks that work at a pregnancy care center here and being involved in a certain capacity with Vitae Foundation, that these pregnancy care centers are just that. They are, and maybe you can talk a little bit about this as you wrote about in the piece, that pregnancy care centers are not centers that are there to convince you to have a baby and then off on your way. There's so much more.
Absolutely. You're absolutely right. There is so much more to those centers. And for me, the experience that I had at the center was they cared deeply about me. And they also cared about the situation that I was in. And the funny thing about it is, when I was being pressured to have an abortion, full confession, I actually called to make an abortion appointment. Mm. But by the grace of God, they did not answer the phone. And I was one of many women, about half of abortions happen by women who are Christian. And I almost fell into that statistic because my plan was to make the abortion appointment and then go to Bible study. But then it was like the Lord stopped me from making the biggest mistake of my life and instead redirected me to a pregnancy care center. And these women, I just remember I was a mess even when I called, and they didn't rush me off the phone. They allowed me to cry, and just that gentleness, the love, compassion that I felt helped me to feel safe because I was being pressured to have an abortion and I wanted to parent my children. And these women didn't try and twist my arm, but they listened to me and helped me to develop my own voice to be able to have the courage to tell their dad that I was not going to terminate the pregnancy, that I was going to have them. But their support extended beyond that moment. And so even after I decided to parent, I still stayed connected with them through their parenting program. So I was meeting with a counselor. I was taking parenting classes. And through that, I was earning baby bucks to be able to shop in their facility for certain items that I needed for my babies. I was able to get free diapers, wipes, baby food, formula. I got baby equipment. I even received baby clothes. I received community referrals to a baby safety class. I remember I was going to pay for a baby safety class because I thought that was important. But through the pregnancy center, I actually learned about a baby safety program where I could take a baby safety class for free. And upon completion, since I was having twins, I was able to get 2 free car seats. And that saved me a lot of money. So I not only received tangible material assistance, but the love and compassion that I received from them was priceless. And I just remember when I found the pregnancy center, actually the sonographer at my OBGYN's office told me about it because she saw me crying and she knew that I was a Christian. And I remember my sonographer encouraging me, saying, "You don't know what God is going to do with this experience." And she also directed me to that pregnancy care center, where I was able to be encouraged, loved, and just cared for during a very difficult time. And very few people in my immediate circle even knew what I was going through. So these women really stepped in as a village of support for me and helped me to find the voice to say yes to the pregnancy I wanted, but also helped me to be able to have that conversation with my family to invite them in to what was going on in my life.
We're talking with our author of the week, Aisha Taylor. The book, Navigating the Impossible, a survival guide for single moms from pregnancy through the first year of motherhood. And I do want to ask a question specifically about the book coming up, but I wanted to make another point here, because when we talk about the pregnancy care centers, understandably so, we imagine the single moms. But I know just, again, in the experience I've had, not as a recipient of the services, but just working with pregnancy care centers, is that a lot of times there is a father involved. But a father is also scared, particularly if they're young and maybe not financially steady. And so they offer the services to help fathers be fathers as well, which is something that I think oftentimes isn't recognized.
Yeah, definitely. There are a number of pregnancy care centers across the nation that have fatherhood initiatives and fatherhood support. I've heard of, and I know of, pregnancy centers that have men who are volunteering in the center who will meet with the man while the woman is even having her intake and consultation, and that they do have fatherhood programs to help men, especially younger men who've never been a father before. And some of them might not even have dads themselves, so they don't even know what it looks like. But to have a positive male figure come alongside of these men, too. And I think that that's definitely important that the pregnancy center offers that.
The the unexpected pregnancy in particular is something that it just, and I imagine if you've never had a child, it's emotional chaos. It is, I have no idea what I'm going to do, how I'm going to do. And this may sound overly simplistic, but anything in life, I think it helps to, quote, have a list. And you talk about having a roadmap to guide you through it. Tell us about the roadmap and the importance of that roadmap.
Absolutely. And I think that this might be through my corporate finance training.
Maybe.
Where,
right.
where we had a process for everything, especially with month end. And so for me, I just took that, and it's just not me. I truly believe the Holy Spirit allowed me to be able to even come up with this, because I didn't want to write the book, because it required me to be transparent and vulnerable with people about what was going on in my own life and what I experienced. And so I think it's really important to be able to have a start. I kind of look at it as a what to expect when you're expecting, if you've experienced an unplanned pregnancy and you're going to be a single mom. And what the roadmap is the book is written in terms of where it takes women through building their faith. And I think a big piece of an unplanned pregnancy, especially if you're coming from a faith-based perspective, you can feel a lot of shame. Mm-hmm. And for me, I felt so much shame. I felt like I was a disappointment to God. I felt like I was letting my family, my friends, and my church down because I experienced an unplanned pregnancy. And I was so embarrassed that for a period of time, I went to a totally different church campus because I was afraid to run into somebody that I knew. Yeah. And so one of the things that I wanted to do was to combat the shame that women face and to let them know that they are still loved by God. Jesus did not take away his salvation from them because they've experienced an unplanned pregnancy, and to let them know that they are loved and to help guide them through strengthening their faith through this situation, to have that rock of Jesus Christ that they can lean on. And so I do a lot about faith-based in the very beginning. And then from there, I take women through building a support system during their pregnancy, while they're having that their birth, and after their pregnancy. I think it's so important to be able to know who you can rely on and who is in your village. That's super important. And then from there, we move on to finances, helping them to be able to build a budget, helping them to know what to spend money on and how to save, how to build their credit, and just real tangible what to do if they run out of money, and how to not have shame if you need to, or if they need to rely on some sort of support or ask for help for a temporary period of time. And then just real life things, how to grocery shop, how to go on outings with your kids, what to spend money on in terms of building a nursery. And then the book concludes with hope for a future, and to know that God still has a purpose and plan for their lives, even though they've experienced an unplanned pregnancy. And my goal was to give these women the same hope that my sonographer gave me when she said, just imagine what God is going to do with your story and what you're doing. And it gave me hope to know that my life wasn't over, my dreams weren't over, and God's purpose and plan for my life was not over just because I became a single mom and experienced an unplanned pregnancy. And I wanted women to understand that that is not just true for me, but it is also true for them.
Our author of the week, Aisha Taylor, the book Navigating the Impossible, a survival guide for single moms from pregnancy through the first year of motherhood. One final question, and then any final thoughts that you have. A lot of people listening may not necessarily find themselves in the position of being an unexpected single mom, but there are probably more people listening who know someone that does. What I think a lot of times when we know someone personally, we want to say the right thing. We want to do the right thing, but we don't want to offend. We don't want to upset. What would you recommend is a great way? Like what is a good approach? What should someone do or say to someone who is scared and doesn't know what to do? And then maybe as importantly, what would you recommend those people not say while they're trying to help?
I love this question, because I think that so many people have good intentions,
yes,
and they don't know where to start. And so one of the things that I would say is, if you know somebody who is going through that situation, just listen. Please do not say you got yourself into this situation and you have to get yourself out of it. Please don't say that. I know when I told my parents that I was pregnant and I was going to be a single mom, my parents loved me. They loved me, and they reassured me that they were going to be there for me regardless, and that they still love me and that they will love their grandkids. And if you're a parent who has a child who is experiencing an unplanned pregnancy, let them know that you love them regardless and that you will be there for them. I think that that's the single most important thing that you can do. And if you don't have a child, but let's say you know somebody through church or through work or, you know, some other type of avenue, ask these women how you can help. Because for me, I was afraid to ask for help because even though no one told me that you got yourself into this and now it's your job to deal with it, no one told me that. I felt that. Yeah. Because I was embarrassed. And so having women tell, and even friends and family say, how can we help? At times I didn't know what help I needed. So taking the next step to say, I'm here to help. Here is how I can help. Because you know your skills, you know your time the best, and you know your availability. And so even if, like I had a friend of mine who was also one of my neighbors, she said, hey, I want to help. I love to cook and I batch cook. So if you're open to it, I can double the recipe and make freezer meals for you. And so that way you can take them out and thaw them. And I was like, I never thought about that. That is a great idea. In the same neighbor, she would come to my house and she would wash baby bottles for me. I had another friend who said, you know what? She didn't have kids, but she loved kids. And she said, you know what? Just let me know, or here's a schedule. Here's when I'm free. I can come to your house and sit with your kids and play with your kids while you go take a shower. Or we can talk and I can just hang out with your kids while you do your laundry or things like that. So giving them ideas of how you can help. If you love pets, some of these women who've experienced an unplanned pregnancy have pets, maybe offer to pet sit for them. So that way they can have one less thing that they can do. So just offering your support, but giving them also ideas for how. And if you're connected with a faith community, speak to your church about ways that they can come alongside of women who are experiencing a single mom. Christmas is a great opportunity. Maybe talking to your church to see, hey, maybe we can adopt families, single moms in the church community, to maybe buy Christmas gifts for her kids or give her a gift card. And thinking about services that you can do. Maybe the women, if they own a house, might need somebody to mow their grass in the summer. And just thinking about how the church community, if you're connected with the church, how the church can become a village for these women as well.
I think you could write an entire second book on this subject, on this. This could be the follow-up to Navigating the Impossible. Because just right off the top there, I mean, a lot of things even like, oh my gosh, yeah, that's a really good idea. It's not the sort of thing I would thought of. Any final thoughts today?
First of all, Nick, thank you so much for having me on. I so appreciate you just allowing me the space to be able to talk about the book and to talk about how people can come alongside of single moms and encourage the single moms who might be listening. And so just the final thoughts that I would say is that I truly believe that all of us are the hands and feet of Jesus Christ, if you are a believer. And if you're not a believer, we are all a part of community with each other. And I think that it's so important to be able to encourage women who you know, or even the men who have experienced an unplanned pregnancy, being able to encourage them hope being able to help them, I think goes a long way. Because one of the things that I don't think people understand is that when women make that decision to carry their pregnancy, it is an everyday decision that they are choosing life for that baby until they have birth. Because there are a number of states that have abortion laws through birth. And so just being able to show up, support, encourage her, and let her know that there is hope through the pregnancy and after is just so important. And just being a part of the village to help these women thrive during pregnancy, after pregnancy, and helping just their children as well. I just think that it's just important to just give people hope and to show people love and compassion. I think it's more important than any of us can ever imagine. I think about when I was pregnant, just the words of hope really were what helped me to get through that very difficult time.
Our author of the week, sponsored by ABC Books on North Glenstone, Aisha Taylor, Navigating the Impossible, a survival guide for single moms from pregnancy through the first year of motherhood. Thank you so much for spending time with us this morning, and Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you as well.
All right, have a wonderful rest of your day. This is Springfield's Talk 104.1. I'm Nick Reed.